This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
It is 360biz.com. My name is Deb Homafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. You know, this is a beautiful Wednesday evening. You know, the minute you hear us on the radio, you know that it's definitely Wednesday, 1 p.m. right here on Cliff Central. The name of the show, it's 360 Biz. You know, this is a show that brings you all things business. So we bring you decision makers, we bring you legislators and industry champion. I'm proud of that today we bring you Lioness. And you know that some of us in South Africa, that we are in the Women's Month. So definitely we cannot go and start or even finish this month without celebrating some of these lionesses that are doing amazing things. I mean, we bring you beautiful and powerful lionesses that are doing amazing things for themselves in their respective fields. Others, I mean, they've gone beyond their boundaries to achieve greatness and are playing a critical role in improving the communities that they live in and South Africa as large. I'm proud that I'm not alone in studio. I've got these lionesses. I'm looking forward to definitely be introducing them. I'm going to be bringing you one of the lioness, who's Miss Lesego Mashishi Matlala, who's a soldier turned businesswoman. She's not in studio yet, but she's definitely on the way. She'll be here in not so long. And we've got Miss Stu Misibanda, who's an attorney turned author and coach. We know definitely we need to be having as well Mpumi Nobiva. We'll see if ever she's still be able to make it in studio. I'm not alone in studio, but I'm with these ladies, and definitely I've got a dear and a good friend of mine, Tseho, who has managed to actually put the show together for us. Bulelani, unfortunately, is not here at this point in time. I'm sure he's still coming or whatever. You know, I always say that business people don't become late. Instead, they become delayed. And let me take this opportunity to bring in and welcome our guest in studio. Tseho, how are you, ma'am?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
No, good, thanks. Do you want to take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what you do.
Yes, my name is Tseho Kekana. I was given the opportunity to produce the show today, so thank you, Deboho, and the 360 Biz team. I'm a PR professional by profession.
Okay.
And I also have an empowerment movement that I am running, which is called Destiny Steps Empowerment, that actually started the whole Lioness feature. So I'm very glad that we're doing this feature, the Lioness, and we're profiling powerful and strong women that are doing great things in their community. So I'm excited about it. So thank you, Deboho.
No, definitely. I mean, you are a powerful and, you know, mover and shaker lioness in your own right. But I mean, for me, it's something that I find interesting, that we live in a country or in a world women hate on women. Mm-hmm. So, and not only that women hate on women, but you've decided to say you'll go out of your way to actually want to put up an event or a concept that brings together women. Why is that?
Because the whole concept behind the Lioness is to, yes, empower women, but I've also found that a lot of women do not do things or are pressured by society because they don't know or haven't unleashed their inner strength. So once you find your inner strength as a woman, that's when you are able to know your worth, and then you are not pressured by what society tells you to do. So that's what I'm trying to achieve by the event The Lioness, and showing that there are women like Butumi and your Lesehos out there who are able to go against the societal odds and achieve their dreams by unleashing the strength that lies within them.
Yeah, no, definitely. It is very interesting that for me, obviously, I've never been a lioness.
Of course.
I don't know what it feels like to be a lioness.
You're a lion.
Yes. So, but you know, the interesting thing, when you look at, you know, the culture of lions, I mean, out there, I mean, you see half of the time the lionesses are the one that hunts. For the lion, and I don't know what you call baby lions,
cubs
or cubs, and for the cubs, so I mean, it really says that lionesses and lions themselves, I mean, are powerful, you know, species or animals for that matter. But right now, then you bring this to the human element. Women don't want to hunt for men, you know. So do you want to bring us up to speed?
Well, it's not about that, actually. The lioness is, you know, it's the female lion that unleashes the power within the lion, if you understand what I'm saying. So, like we always say that the woman is the neck and the man is the head, and the head can't move without the neck. So, lions and lionesses need each other. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the lioness will never, I mean, the human lioness will never hunt for the lion. I'm sorry, from the human element, it's men that need to hunt for the woman, and then the woman will dedicate their lives into ensuring that the man is powerful.
Yeah, no, thank God you know what, this is a business show. otherwise, we'll be getting on debates as far as discussing the lion and and the lioness. Do you want to take this opportunity to welcome our guests?
Yes, I'd like to take the opportunity to welcome our two beautiful, powerful lionesses. It's Tumi Sibanda, who is a life coach, a champion in empowerment, and also Lesego Matlala, who is a businesswoman. She is the director of Limitless Occupational Therapy. Welcome, ladies.
Great to be here.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. Lesego, I know you, ne?
Yes. We've met a number of times. You know, where there's business, there's the work, or there's anything else.
No, definitely. Do you want to, ladies, maybe let's start with you, Lesego. Oh, no, first come, first serve. Let's start with you, Austin. do you want to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is that you do?
Good afternoon to everyone.
My name is Tumi Sibanda, as introduced. I'm a life and business coach. I'm an author. I'm a speaker. And I'm also a creator of My Voice Conversations. So what I do, Deboho, is my passion is empowerment of women.
Mm.
I call myself a mission champion because I am on a quest to get women to live a mission-driven life.
Mm.
And I do that through life coaching, where I coach women and professionals.
Okay.
And I also do that through business coaching, where I work with entrepreneurs who are starting out to help them, you know, to put together their businesses. And I also do that through speaking in different platforms. And I've also written a book called My Voice Through My Eyes. So I do that. It ministers when I'm not talking. It does the ministering for on my behalf.
Isn't that the book that you owe me?
Yes, that's the book I owe
you. Oh, okay.
I actually brought a copy. I'm very wise.
Oh, okay. No, definitely. I mean, I think we've been on the Hope Factory advisory board together. Right?
Correct.
Oh, yes, okay. No, definitely.
And I also created monthly conversations that are called My Voice Conversations. They were really pretty much based on the book, but the purpose is really to have conversations with women so that we talk about issues that confront us as women and co-create solutions together. So I do that on a quarterly basis. So that's pretty much what I do outside of being a mother, outside being a wife, a daughter, an aunt, cousin, etc.
No, definitely. And Lesego?
Well, I am firstly a wife, a mother, sister, and I'm in business, but my profession is occupational therapy. So I own a private practice that is Limitless Occupational Therapy Services, where we focus on medical, legal work, employee wellness. We have a pediatric department, and we have offices in Pretoria, Johannesburg, and Nelspruit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm also a part of the Be Empowered movement. So I'm a trustee there, which is an NPO, where we focus on township revitalization and helping young people get into business or give them skills for entrepreneurship. Then I'm also an ambassador of the Bonginge Mazuma Foundation, which focuses around awareness around diabetes.
Oh, you've been captured, Chief.
I'm captured by the wellness and health of it. Yes, I'm definitely captured where that's concerned.
No, definitely. And I think let me leave the lionesses to actually have a conversation. I'm not a lioness, so I don't really know what affects lionesses.
All right. So I think I will start with you, Tumi. You're a champion for empowerment, and you want to see people transform their lives for the better. So how do you do this?
I do this through coaching. And by the way, the lady who's doing the video is one of my clients. So that's empowerment. Who knows? Probably be working with you soon. So I do that through coaching. I do one-on-one coaching, and I do coaching for professionals in corporates. So I work with existing consulting companies where they've got leadership programs in their clients' premises. I go and do the coaching component in those programs. And I also do group coaching as well. And as I said, I also do the conversations that I do. So it's really about dialogue. And the focus in these dialogues that I have in coaching, my coaching process, is to help people really to get in touch with who they are. That's very important. Who you are and what it is that you want out of life. So identify who you are, know what your mission is, because everything that you do in life must flow from that mission, whether it's in your relationship, professional or social or romantic. Your mission must live in that relationship. Whether it's in your job, your mission should be able to live in that job. In your business, your mission should be able to live in your business. So for me, this vessel, the lioness vessel,
yes,
it's what is very key. So once you know who you are, you understand yourself, you can step into any project and let your mission live in that project.
Sure, that is powerful. That is powerful. So what drove you to become a life coach?
My personal experience, actually. I worked, I'm an attorney by profession, admitted attorney, not practicing. And I practiced very briefly, and I worked in the consulting space. So personally, I didn't know who I was, you know, and I speak so easily about it now, but it was something that I was hiding for a very long time. I didn't know who I was. I didn't have confidence because of the fact that I didn't know what is it that I stand for in life. And I went through my professional life, which looked very successful, but I had so much turmoil inside, until I got to a point where I was asking this question: there must be more to life than this. Just climbing the corporate ladder, there must be more to life. It's not enough that I'm just climbing this corporate ladder. And I really got into a mini depression. I was not even aware. In hindsight, I realized that I was in depression. I would actually cry myself at night. Sometimes I'm frustrated. What I'm doing, I'm not enjoying anymore. There must be something. And what turned my life around was a clip from the late Dr. Miles Monroe. And in that clip, he said a sentence that stayed with me forever, which says, "Sometimes God will give you jobs to lead you to your work." And I was like, wow. What is even the difference, you know? And from that day on, I set out to go look for what my work is, because I had jobs. I really had worked in jobs. So I started asking a different question. It was no longer about there must be more to life than this. I started asking, what is my work? And in asking this question, because the subconscious is a very unique, I'll call it an organ, for lack of a better word. The subconscious, when you ask the right questions, it goes to work for you. So as soon as I started asking this question, I remember that I went through coaching myself in my professional life, and I started researching. I said, I can do this coaching, because there is really magic in coaching. So I started researching, and I came up with different methodologies, and then I took the one that resonated with me. I registered myself and got the qualifications, other qualifications sometime later. And, you know, that's where it actually all started.
Wow.
And what I get out of this is pure fulfillment.
Yeah. So then, I mean, tell me, Dumi, you find there's a saying that says the grave is the most richest place in the world.
True.
Because that's where people die, with ideas, with creativity, with all of these things. Some majority of the time, I was reading some study, was saying 80% of the people die before they've actually discovered themselves.
True.
Yeah.
So hence, the majority that discover themselves, they the one that maximize in terms of, you know, innovating and doing all of these things as far as the world is concerned.
Yeah.
So now, what do you think people could do out there to help discover themselves, because the reality is not everyone can afford a coach.
True.
You know?
Yes.
And but right now they're sitting in their own small world, in their own small corner. Right now they're listening to you. Mm-hmm. You're talking about discovering yourself, how one can go about discovering themselves.
Okay. The first one, this is tongue-in-cheek. The first one is that I do, on Wednesdays evening, I do mentoring, and this is a free service. I do mentoring on WhatsApp, so you can join that. And that's the by the way side. But the first thing that I normally say to people is, for you to really discover who you are, you've been living this life for quite some time.
Okay.
And we make decisions on a daily basis, and those decisions are being driven by something, which is our values and our principles. And you really need to go to that core and understand, what are my values? That's the starting point.
Mm-hmm.
What are my personal values? Because that's what's going to be that. That's the GPS of your life. If you don't know what your personal values are, the question is that, whose values are you living then? So you have to really find out what your personal values are.
Yeah.
Because that's what directs your life. And then the second thing is finding out, what are you passionate about? Most people are sitting in jobs that they hate because it brings the money, but they don't love what they are doing. So find it, it's what it is that you are passionate about. And if you hate your job, but you love the money, love your job for the money that it brings, and start focusing on what you're passionate about. You can do it even on a part-time basis so that you get that fulfillment. And who knows, you might start enjoying the job that you are hating at the moment. And then find out what you're good at. People are sitting with skills that they could be using to really generate money. So that package of those three information, they are very basic. Those basic three things. Once you know what is it that I have in terms of what my values are, what is my passion, and what are my skills, you can craft what is it that you can do. You know, that information, when you put it together and you find a space where your values live, you find where your passion exists, and you find where your skills can be used, that sweet spot, you can create magic in that.
So coming to you, Lesego, talking about passion and finding your purpose, you went from being a soldier to a businesswoman. How can you just explain to us your journey?
You know, it was actually quite a funny experience, because right before I was accepted, to join the South African National Defence Force, I was just applying for bursaries. And during that period of time, I was more the model lookalike, you know, skinny, tall, and always keeping up with the latest fashion updates and all of that. So going to the military was not something that I had ever envisaged, you know. But that's where I learned my first principle of having respect for opportunities, no matter which way they are packaged. Because if I did not go to the National Defense Force, I wouldn't have studied to become an occupational therapist. So I would have missed the path that I'm at right now. So I took the challenge, and it was so funny because I was always the one, you know, when we do fitness tests and the gun handling and all of that, I was always the one that did not get it. Is that right? But
yeah, because I don't imagine you holding a gun, by the way.
You know, but I was very influential in terms of my ideas and how we can advance rules and certain things that are happening within the Defense Force. So I was able to tap into my skills and my passions and strengthen those while I was in the Defense Force, and in order to discover myself. So when I studied occupational therapy, also I did not have a clue what it was about. Okay, so when I got to the lecture room the first day, and everybody, I went to job shadow my aunt, she's an occupational therapist. You know, I was completely in the dark, and lo and behold, because I grabbed the opportunity, you know, I can't imagine doing anything else. You know, I was actually designed to become an occupational therapist. Even without the degree, my mind just works that way in terms of empowering others, helping others identify their skills, their traits, their talents, and how to organize them in a way that advances their lives. So that's how I became a soldier, and that's how I studied occupational therapy, all by following opportunity.
Wow. And You didn't really have an easy childhood. You lost your parents at a young age. Can you just tell us about how you overcame that?
Sure, overcome is a strong, I mean, still now, you know, it's an ongoing process. You never actually overcome losing your parents, you know, especially at a young age. I mean, when I lost my father, I was 13 years old, going to grade 8. When I lost my mother, I was 17, going to matric. So it was, you know, both of them, it was at stages where I was growing and developing and transitioning and needed my parents to be there, you know. But luckily for me, you know, the penny dropped quite quickly that if I don't rise up and make a life for myself, my future doesn't look very bright, because there were no resources, there was no way where the money was going to come from for me to study or do anything else. So I realized that it's going to take me doing extraordinary things. So if I'm going to pass matric, it has to be an extraordinary pass so that I can attract the attention that I want, the people that are willing to assist. People want to help people that they can see that there's potential, and people that work hard. So I realized that very early, that nothing comes from nowhere, or nothing comes just because you're an orphan or you're disadvantaged. There's so many people with so many life challenges that, you know, if we were all to get sympathy handouts, it would take the whole country. So people look for extraordinary results and excellence in order to support you, no matter what your situation is.
I mean, Lesego, you find young people, they settle for drugs.
Yes.
Others settle for alcohol, and others go to the extent of getting themselves abused, in terms of settling for abusive relationships and everything else. And when you actually try to get to the crux of what's the core of that actually led them to what they're doing now, you find that most of them, they're saying because of the challenges they had growing up, the hardship that they experienced and everything. So clearly, I mean, for you, you used the negative to actually build up strength for you to be who you are today. I mean, what would you say is one thing that maybe people could consider doing out there for them to help overcome their challenges, to actually build their strength out of the negative that they've experienced?
You know, I always advise, especially I love working with young people, that you need to always guard your environment and guard the people that are around you, or what are your influences, you know, because we are all vulnerable to certain things. Some are vulnerable to a risky lifestyle of partying or, you know, or drugs or this or that. But if you learn early on to start checking who is around you, what is around you, are you compromising yourself, you know, are you putting yourself in situations where you will be easily tempted. Mm-hmm. So that is the first point. The second is also, you know, now we are young adults, we are raising children. From the onset, when you become a parent, you must be aware that whatever you deposit in your child, that is what is going to carry them even in your absence. So, you know, so most children, they always behave like they're not listening, or they are rebellious to what their parents say. But things that you hear in your household and that you were taught, when you're alone and it's crunch time for you to make those decisions, that's where the subconscious kicks in, and your brain automatically goes to the information that you've been fed. So we need to be conscious as young people and coming to raise our babies and children, that we must have intent to equip them for those days when we might not be around.
Powerful, powerful. I'm so inspired. And to you, Tumi, it's, you know, hearing Lesego and how young people are led by, you know, pressures of society and, you know, losing, I don't know, in your experience and the people that you deal with, but then how would you advise young people who are going through the Instagram life, you know, and the pressure of the Instagram life, you know, to actually realize that, you know, I need to be me and people need to see me for who I am, you know. How would you advise young people to go through life in a manner that that makes them understand who they are?
The first thing that I would like to say, what you said is very true about cleaning your environment. And cleaning your environment is about making sure that once you've identified who you are and what is it that you want out of life, who are the people who will be able to help you to achieve that? And there will be people who are in your circle at that point in time who will not be suitable for you to achieve what it is that you want. So for young people, I always say you need to listen to your gut. You know, when you do something and then there's a little voice or there's some uneasiness, you must know it's not talking to who you are. So be in touch with that feeling so that you can feel it. Every time you are straying away from what your values are, what your principles are, you can tell that what I'm doing, I'm not comfortable. And then you, at that point, you need to ask yourself, who am I doing this for? Am I doing this to please someone? Or am I doing this to be accepted? And once you've identified that for yourself, you say, why am I looking to be accepted? What is it that I can do that I accept myself for who I am? And you are very right. The upbringing that we give to our children, helping them to anchor themselves, to anchor them into who they are from a very young age is very important. Because if we don't do that, most of us are absent parents, unfortunately, because of careers. We're pushing careers and we find ourselves that the parenting is done by our helpers. The principles that our children get fed are from the helpers' principles. Whatever it is, some end up even speaking the language of the helper, not our languages, because we've like really delegated the parenting to teachers and to our caregivers. So it's very important that as parents, we are there for our children in terms of what are the values that this family lives by and instill them from a very young age.
I mean, to me, speaking about teaching, we've got a message here from Gifilo Mdloli, who says, I know Lesego from high school. We attended school together and she was a grade higher than me. I remember her geography teacher, Mrs. Tro, said that she would go far in life and go beyond. And behold, look where she is. I'm super proud of you and look up to you all the time. You go, girl. Give you a gear, Gemma's.
Awesome. She's also a woman in business, you know. It's always so encouraging to see one person that is doing well, that is striving to achieve, acknowledge your hard work and all of that. So thank you, Kifilo.
No, definitely. So now, I mean, the point that you raised, Austumi, it's a very valid point of teaching. Right now, we get taught things at school. We got taught things at home. So now you find we're in business. Who teaches women in business? Because right now you realize that all of you guys are in business, but you guys cannot rely on each other because you don't teach each other.
Yes.
You know, you don't become your each other's confidante and stuff. I think this is an answer that I'd like to get from both of you to say, who was your one teacher in business that inspired you, who's a female, who said, you know what, you can do this and they'll bring out the best in you?
Okay. Do you know that in my life, I think my life was really created for this. I think I've only had two male bosses. I've always had female bosses. So there is a number of women in my life who've really played a pivotal role to who I am, from my mother, my grandmother, my sister, to the bosses that I've had. But where I am at the moment, there is two women. During that time when I was struggling with the question, there must be more to life than this, there was a woman who was really my pillar, my kindlove. She was my mentor and she was also my boss. I used to lean on her and she really taught me a lot of things. So If she's listening somewhere, thank you very much, Osmaki. And currently, I've got a super, super awesome mentor, Queen Ramotsewa. She is also a coach.
Oh, I know Queen.
You know Queen, yes.
I know Queen.
She is my source of where when I need my cup to be filled, I really go to her. So there's a lot that I've learned from her. But also, I've my roommate or my bedmate. My bedmate is a kind of a mentor, McLean Sibanda. I learn a lot from him with regards to business.
You're
so I'm
kidding
blessed
me.
Like that.
Are you married to McLean?
Yes, I am.
That's my boy. Wow. Okay.
So, you know, my journey into business, I think, was fueled more from wanting to be that mentor that helps young people or young women discover and refocus their lives. So at that time when I was working, I was learning more through observation. So as I was working in different practices and I had female bosses, I never had a mentor-mentee type of situation, but it was always that I'm observing what is happening, what is working, what is not working, and also whatever work that I was given to do, as menial as it was, I ensured that I excelled in that particular job and even create something new out of it. So that is something that I'm, you know, when I employ a lot of young people and a lot of young women, I always encourage them that, you know, when you work, you don't work for your boss. You work for yourself to see how far you can stretch yourself, how far you can extract your talents or extract your skills. And that is where I find my passion, because you are very right, Tebogo, that we don't have a lot of settings where another woman will sit with you and walk you through that journey. So I'm trying to create that environment and to create that platform that young women can come to me and say, Lesego, this is what I'm trying to do. What can I do? But I also don't spoon feed. You know, you have to give women the opportunity to do things the way they innately would do it, you know, instead of carving one template that this is how you do business. You know, but my husband often says to me that you make a lot of emotional decisions. And then I would be like, yes, that is how I emotionally keep my workers, you know. So there's strength also in the feminine touch in the business sphere.
Yeah, but now, I mean, when it now coming to the issue of business, we all know that there's only 1% of women in the JSE listed companies. So for me, it says, Tsego, that there's a lot of work that needs to be done by women. There's a lot of work that needs to be done by corporate South Africa. So I don't know to say, how do you guys maybe receive the news that 1% of you guys are actually influencing just e-listed companies? Maybe let me hear from you first.
I think you know, as Lisa was talking, I was also thinking of, you know, the women that have been my bosses as well in the past. And I've also seen that there are some instances where there is that pull-down syndrome, unfortunately. And when you don't...
PhD.
Yeah, when you don't pull a woman up, you know, they will not be empowered to go up. So I think this 1% is... It really, for me personally, it comes from the fact that maybe women are not empowered enough to take up bigger roles. Maybe women are not empowered enough to lead in a way that we are required to lead. Or maybe women haven't found the strength to lead, you know. So I think it comes from knowing your inner self and finding your inner strength as a woman and taking risks, because men take risks. Men don't care. Men take huge risks. And women, we are mothers. And we do take risks, but most of us take, you know,
calculated risks
because you're thinking, hore, I'm a mother. I've got kids to feed. I've got a home to take care of. So we also have that mentality that, you know, as much as I'm chasing my career and I'm building my business, I still have a home to take care of. So I think that women, as women, we have a lot of obstacles that we are putting out there for ourselves. So it's not that we can't do it. It's just that we're not breaking those barriers like men do so that we can get to achieve those dreams and cut out the 1%.
Tsekho is on the wrong side of the fence. Let's bring this fence back.
Yeah.
You know, from listening to you, one thing that we need to acknowledge that it hasn't been so many years where the emancipation of women was celebrated. I mean, still in other African countries, women are not given the opportunity to express and to engage in the corporate sphere, equally to men. But what I'm seeing now is a paradigm shift and a mindset shift where, you know, the roles of the household and the office and work and that is starting to, you know, we're starting to find a balance in everything. But what I feel women are struggling with is that you're talking about the collaborative effort, because the bigger you want to become, the more you are expected to collaborate with other people. You know, you can't run a multi-billion rand empire on your own. So women are struggling to collaborate with other women or even other men to get to that point where we can compete with the best of the best.
My take, I'm going to disagree with you because the experiences that I personally have had and also what I deliberately choose. The experiences that I've had, as I said, I've had women who are bosses, who are my bosses. And really, in the past month, I was doing a program where I was practicing gratitude. And the people that I was being grateful for mainly were women that were coming up who have really shaped me. So I know that there is narrative that there is the PhD, and it may be there in certain quarters, but I choose not to subscribe to that. In fact, my mentor and I choose to not to subscribe to that, because we've made it our mission that we are going to uplift each other. We're going to uplift other women as well. And I employ all the women who are listening here today to say, choose to have one woman this month, by the end of this month, uplift them to some level. And we would have gone a long way. And from the choices that one makes, you are able to deliberately go into action towards the actions that you have, the decisions that you have made for yourself. So I think it's time we kill the narrative PhD. We really need to kill that.
But it exists.
It does exist.
In certain quarters, it exists. But if we are going to latch on it and let it be what we say defines women, then we're not going to get to solutions. I think we need to start saying, away with PhD, how do we uplift each other? And each one of us in their little corners, who can I uplift?
I think you make, and I agree completely with you, the fact that you choose. It's what you choose for yourself, you know, and that's the only way you can break those barriers. But those barriers are there, and it's up to us to break them, you know. Even for us, my friends and I, we started a group called You Inspire Me, and it's a group of young women, and we meet every single month. What we do is that we use the Bible, and we try to do what the Bible tells us to do. So we use what the Bible says into our lives, you know, and then we grow and you know, last week, and I'm sorry to bring in the Bible, Deboho, because I know it's a business show.
No, you can talk.
just last week, we were talking about the role of Adam and Eve, and we realized that it was Adam that chose Eve, even though God created them. But Adam Adam decided that this is the bone of my bone and the rib of my ribs. And we realized the role of Adam and how the power that women have, the role of Eve, sorry, and the power that Eve has. And it was Eve that convinced Adam to eat the apple. So we then spoke about the power that we have as women to break those barriers, and so that we can see unlimited opportunities in life. And that's the power that Eve had. And we are here today because of what Eve did.
And I absolutely agree with you.
So, but I, like you said, Tsekho, thank God this is a business show, not a religious show. Because right now as well, research has shown that Eve is not the first woman in the Bible, by the way. So the first woman in the Bible is Lilith. So, and that was created the same time Adam was created. And even in the Bible, there's a scripture that quotes on that. So, but you see, if we're going to start getting on that debate, thank God we're talking a business show.
Rabbit holes.
Yes. But anyway, we got a message from Koketso Maloba, who says, great show, ladies and Debza. It's so coincidental that a few months ago, I decided to find a coach because I was feeling the exact way that Dumi was feeling. When I played with the idea, I soon found out that coaching was seen as a white thing. This was also supported by the fact that we were very few black coaches available. I'm also going through a coaching and I love it. Not only am I learning more about myself, but I understand how my brain works and what I need to do to leverage from how it functioned. Shout out to Tsekho, who is my home girl. You're such an inspiration to all of us young women from Gogi.
Thank you, Koki.
Yes. So now maybe let me take a different twist to this. We're almost going to be running out of time. Right now we are living in an era where our country, they've introduced the new triple B codes. That are meant to be doing transformation within the business space, transformation within the government, within every sector that it is, so that we're able to give black people an opportunity, most importantly, give women the right transformation, the right empowerment that you need. The reason for me I'm asking this question is very close to my heart, because I think a couple of weeks back I went to this company and they said we are, you know, 51% women owned, black owned, and things like that. You know, and I got there, we had a meeting. Then I asked her, so where's the woman ownership? They made an excuse to say, no, she's having meetings wherever, and this and that. And the guys were overhearing. So when I was walking to my car, one of the guys ran to me and says, no, this white man is lying to you. You know, that 1%, that woman ownership that you're asking, is the lady that was making you tea. She's actually there in the building. So, and research has shown as well that there's a lot of companies that are putting together creative structures to actually see you guys as giving you guys empowerment, but there's no empowerment, there's nothing whatsoever. So now, as a woman, how does that affect you? You know, because do you think, is it fair to you as a woman in business? Do you think, is it fair for you as a woman in corporate, that opportunities have been taken right in front of your eyes, right in front of you, and they are being structured to seem as if you are being empowered? Where else you know for a fact that you're sitting home not being empowered?
You know, it goes back again to the individual. I mean, for example, if someone is going to approach you and want you to be on the on their papers in terms of representation, then we as women, you need to be empowered enough to ask those critical questions, that what will my role be? If it benefits you, it benefits your company in this way, how is it going to benefit me? So it goes back again to building women's, and especially African women's, self-esteem and confidence to be able to challenge those kind of setups, and to be able to uncover and research and do the homework that you need to do when you're about to get into or collaborate with one or the other business because of representation. So for me, I appreciate the codes, and I feel that it was a necessary step that the government had to do, but it's for us now, African women, to see the power that we hold, and also at the negotiation table to be able to play that power card, that but you can't make certain moves without me. But that takes education, and that takes also awareness, which thank goodness your shows like yours help with that.
Just to add on it, I agree absolutely with you that we have to get to a point as women where we stop using ourselves as France.
Yes.
Stop agreeing to be France. And I always say to women when we have my voice conversations that one of the things that you should avoid is being the only. That is the worst thing that you can pride yourself about, being the only this or being the first this. So it's about us not letting ourselves be used. So the idea of us empowering each other and standing for what it is that we believe in and asking those hard questions. And if you are not able to ask hard questions, get a mentor for yourself and say, I want you to teach me how to really ask hard questions.
Yes.
That would be a good starting point so that when you are approached for businesses, then you can ask those hard questions which need to be asked.
Yes. Or even go with someone. Mm. You know, if I know when I go to difficult meetings, I always invite my husband because he's more aggressive when it comes to business. So
yeah,
no.
I think I must bring these husbands. Let's have a conversation of the husbands. Eh?
No, but you know, you need to be aware of what are your strengths, what are your limitations, and be able to play towards your strengths.
And what are you going to outsource?
And what you're going to outsource?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I completely agree with the two ladies. Just to add on that, I believe in you need to have a voice in the boardroom, and I think a lot of women struggle with that, you know, letting your voice being heard in the boardroom, especially those you know, I did PR for a very tough company and I can't mention it, but there were so many times when we were in boardrooms and even when you spoke, you were not heard. But then we need to speak in such a way that you are heard and they Absolutely. Listen to you, and that's you empowering yourself.
So now, I mean, for me, I remember I did this interview. I was asked to say, if I was a president for a day, what would I change? I said, I will change the take a girl to child to work campaign.
Why? Because
it focuses on the empowerment of a girl child. And it neglects the boy child. That boy child becomes the rapist to the girl child tomorrow. That boy child becomes the criminal, you know, that hijacks the girl child and everything of that kind. Mm-hmm. So for me, I've learned, and for me, what I believe in and in my household, to say, you girl child need the boy child. Mm-hmm. And you boy child need girl child. You Absolutely. Need to protect the girl child. Mm-hmm. To say right now, you need to protect each other. Because right now, society as well, it has raised men that are bitter, that are hurting. You know, mm-hmm. men have been, you know what, abused and everything of that kind. And right now you see that portraying that coming out in society. That's why you find, obviously, now in business, companies like myself, I think I've got majority of women, mm-hmm. You know, that are actually there being empowered, because we're trying to actually what change, you know, the narrative. Mm-hmm. The business-wise, change the narrative to say, you know what, these two parties depend and need on each other, mm-hmm. you know. So right now you find that that's why I find most of young women are successful, they're doing well.
Yeah. Mm.
Look at their boyfriends. They don't have, you know, look at their husband, you know. So the few powerhouses that you guys have taken, you know, and they, you know, and so it's something that I think, when you look at society, and the ratio doesn't balance.
Mm.
So that's why at the end of the day, for me, I want to ask you, as much as you're doing all this amazing work for a girl child, what are you doing for a boy child? How are you influencing or transforming men so that they're able to play part of the society and improve growing the economy of our country?
I mean, with me, and this is the greatest gift, you know, having a business has helped me feed my passion of empowering young people, and especially young people from disadvantaged backgrounds. So all my employees, I mean, Matlatsi, Nuku, Mpo, Busanang, all of them, they are, you know, boys, girls that are hungry to get to the next level. So I feel I'm doing my part in the society because I'm intentionally grooming them in whatever their strengths are within the power that I have, which would be the business that I run.
For me, it's because I'm a mother of boys, so it has to start at home. And if you are a mother of boys listening, it has to start at home, so that your boy is not dependent on society mm-hmm. to shape them. They must be shaped from home. But with the work that I do, because I work a lot with professionals, I interact with a lot of young males in the beginning of their professions, and we really work on them. It's so amazing how sometimes you see the hurt that you're talking about that young men are walking around with. And I think I'm going to put a challenge to men out there to say, what are you doing for the young boys? yourselves, so that we are no longer talking about why are you only empowering women. What are you men doing out there to empower young men as well?
Definitely. Well,
for me in my space, I can't to be honest, I can't say I'm doing much, but then through an NPO that I'm a part of, 100 Plus Movement in Pretoria and Atteridgeville, we do a lot for the community. So we have youth dialogues that help uplift businesses, and most of the businesses are the small businesses are owned by men. So we do that kind of empowerment in terms of empowering their businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely more can be done. A whole lot can be done.
No, definitely. Quickly, as we close off the show, word of 30-second inspiration to somebody that is listening.
Love your job so that you can get to your work, right, Tumi? Yeah. Appreciate whatever opportunity you have and maximize it.
Okay, so for people that want to get hold of you, where can they get hold of you?
You can visit our website, limitlessot.co.za. So you can drop us an email there or contact us on the phone line that you'll find on the website.
Okay. Word 30-second word of inspiration?
Word of inspiration is the motto that I live my life by, which is one of the greatest gifts that a human being has is the power to choose. So choose every day.
Mm.
And
details.
You can get hold of us from our website, www.coachingfordreams.com, and otherwise I am Tumi Sibanda on social media.
Okay, ma'am?
Unleash the power that lies within you so that you can reach your potential.
No, definitely. Social media?
At Tseho MOL. And on Twitter, and Tseho Fazekekana on Facebook.
No, definitely. No, thank you a lot, ladies, for joining us.
You're welcome.
It was great having you, definitely. Thank you very much. This is all that we had for you today on 360 Biz. If ever you've just tuned in, you missed out on an amazing discussion that we had with the Lionesses, you can always go to www.cliffcentral.com to actually catch the podcast. But anyway, you can also catch us again next time after another exciting installment of 360 Biz. My name is Debo Homafodi. I'm out.
360 Biz on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.